The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number three of the Starting Lineup. Let's roll. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West, the game will peg, 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 peg. And where does it land today? Oh, looky here. It's actually one of my favorite games that we play here on TSL. It's called The Number is Right. Will West, whether we have first-time listeners or the refreshers, let them know, how do we play The Number is Right?
Here's how The Number is Right works. We don't need one caller, not two callers. We need three callers at 656-9900. It works just like the opening showcase at The Price is Right. We'll ask one question. In the first round, two contestants who are closest without going over will advance to the final round. In the final round, the contestant who is closest without going over is going to be the big winner. Tyler Ivins, what are they playing for this week?
Take and bake it. That's what happens, boys. You put it in at 425, 17 minutes later, a lot of love happening in your belly because Papa Murphy's is giving you $25 for you to get the pizza and to set the menu this weekend. Tennessee taking on Tennessee Tech. No better time to start grubbing on the best pizza than with Papa Murphy's. Let's get Steve in here first. Steve's been waiting patiently. Hey, Steve, you get to decide, my man. Do you want Will's question first to set things, or would you rather have my question?
Tyler.
All right, my man, I appreciate you. Steve, last night there were 15 Major League Baseball games that were played, right? 30 teams head-to-head. If you added the score of all 15 winning teams' total runs together, what would you have? So I'm not looking for the total score of all 15 games. I'm looking for if you added the winning total from the winning team from all the 15 games, what would you have? Yeah, that's the question.
Pretty much, I was just saying, Steve, guess a number.
I love this question so much.
I'm going to say 52.
All right. Steve says 52. Josh, how many total runs were scored by the winning teams last night in Major League Baseball?
58.
58, says Josh. Mark, how many total runs were scored by the winning teams in Major League Baseball on Tuesday night?
47.
Oh, Mark, you went the wrong way. No! Come on, Mark. Steve, Josh? 100 total runs were scored last night. 15 winners total all their winning runs together.
Wait, how do you know that?
I do show prep.
that's not show prep for this show.
He's on Twitter, and someone found that stat out for him. Don't be wrong. I swear to you,
I looked that up myself.
That question was so...
I walked in on him looking it up when I got here.
What possessed you to look that up?
Because I had a feeling if the wheel landed today on The Number is Right, that I might need to have a creative game.
Listen. Usually I give you crap about your questions. That was still a stupid question, but I loved it. I loved it.
No, it was a
great.
Good stupid question. I agree. It was a fantastic stupid question.
You know what? I'm tired of taking your all slack.
All right, Steve, Josh, let's get this W, guys. All right. Jose Urias now leads the majors in wins on the season among all pitchers. How many wins does Urias have on the season?
21.
21, says Steve. Josh, how many wins for Urias right now?
10.
The answer is 17. Congratulations, Josh.
That's how you do it, brother.
Big W.
$25, Papa Murphy's, 425, 17 minutes. Pie is ready for you. Make fun of my 100-run winning.
We love it. You have to admit, that's terrible. But it's awesome terrible.
Yes, it's so bad, but it's fun.
Great bad. Not good.
Hang on.
Great bad.
I'm still digging through this compliment. It's somewhere, right?
It's like the compliment sandwich, except for it's just smushed all together.
Chips on top of ham. You just smush it together.
Have you ever
mayonnaise.
Heard of a compliment sandwich? Let me tell you what it is.
Allow me to walk you through the ingredients of the compliment sandwich. Sometimes I come up with great questions. Sometimes I come up with awful questions. I think that was an awfully great question.
If you said that you looked that up yourself, which if you did, great job.
Will, yes or no? What was I doing when you walked in the studio today?
He was looking that up.
No, he was looking up box scores from last night.
And I was like, what is he doing?
But why?
No, you're right. Yes. Yes. But and he's right. It was show prep for some other show. Nothing we're going to do here.
I'm here for it.
I am so here for that.
But why?
Yeah, that's why it's so great.
Okay, Eric Kane. I'll remember that next time where you need a super awesome, sweet line or cover to make, and I'm just going to be like, I don't know, do it yourself, kid.
It's great. I'm glad you had it. Just weird.
Okay. Go ahead and give us that Tennessee Lottery Sports update right now. Show us how much we love and show us how much show prep you've done going into today's show. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
We'll stay with Major League Baseball. We'll head to Atlanta, where the Braves came up short against the Rockies 5-4. The Cubs doubled up the Phillies 6-3. The Pirates got by the Reds 6-5, and the Yankees smashed the Orioles 7-2. The United States Soccer Federation announced Tuesday that it's offered both the United States men's and women's national teams identical proposals for new collective bargaining agreements. And in the NBA, the Rockets and John Wall have agreed to work together trying to find a new trade destination for the guard. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion to support educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. Is Tennessee going to be bowl eligible this football season? We'll discuss on the other side. TSL returns. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
This has been a big announcement.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, Will West. Look, this is a 6-6 football team. At least that's where that's where Kaner and I were at the beginning of the year. Will, you're at 7-5. Let's make some adjustments. Let's talk about where we are now heading into Tennessee Tech. You did lose by a touchdown to an ACC foe in your house. You have others, some to the likes of Jerry Palm, that believe that Tennessee is no longer going bowling. Remind me the second.
Brett McMurphy,
thank you.
Yeah, both had them in a bowl to start the season. Both have them not in their bowl projections this week.
Well, let's chat with you here. You had Tennessee beating Pittsburgh. Where are you at now on this Tennessee team? Not only do I feel like you're going to adjust your prediction, but do you adjust the thought of Tennessee not having a 13th game this year?
Yeah, no, I think that I'll just have them at 6-6. And Tennessee's better than I thought they were, so they could still go 7-5, but until they figure out the quarterback, I'm not going to pick that. They've also dealt with injuries way earlier than I could have imagined that you're going to deal with this many injuries. So I have to adjust it and say right now I'm at 6-6. I thought Tennessee would beat Pitt, and if they don't poop their pants, even with the injuries, they beat Pitt. But they did poop their pants. And so now 7-5 becomes 6-6. Do you think that Jerry Palm and Brett McMurphy saw something from Tennessee that made them think, oh, no, that's a 5-7 team? Or do you think they had them at 6-6 by beating Pitt?
I think they had them at 6-6 by beating Pitt, because I think what they saw was a 4-0 non-conference and then wins against Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Do you change anything with what you've seen 2 weeks into the season for Tennessee?
No, because, look, with that loss to Pittsburgh, I also stayed with the television later that evening and nothing impressed me in the Missouri-Kentucky game. Yeah, Kentucky beat Missouri, but what I saw was Mark Stoops and Eli Drinkwitz teams. They are beatable in some categories, and as long as Tennessee can solidify who their starting quarterback is and get some of those wrongs righted, Tennessee can hang with those teams and beat those teams. And in my opinion, too, I don't know what the spreads are going to be. I know there's a lot of prognostication out there where people can predict what those spreads are going to be, but guess what? Bet you those Kentucky and Missouri spreads, even with them being on the road, they won't be favored by more than a touchdown. And if you're within a touchdown, that tells me the game can go either way.
Yeah, it can. And the thing is this, they've got to get healthy and they've got to get the quarterback figured out. And that's the one thing. Look, Josh Heupel, literally, as long as he's been a coordinator or coach, the quarterback's always been figured out by Heupel. So I got to think that it ain't the first time in 20 dang years that Josh Heupel doesn't have the quarterback figured out, right?
Sure.
So you got to think it gets figured out in the next couple weeks. And maybe that ends up being Hendon Hooker and you just don't have the vertical passing game the way you want the vertical passing game to be there. Maybe that's what the answer is. But one way or the other, I think we'll know the answer by next week. If they've got the quarterback figured out, they can beat both Kentucky and Missouri. It's going to be hard to predict them on the road beating both Kentucky and Missouri. That was a really good game Saturday night, but I didn't see anything from Kentucky and Missouri that tells me that they're great. Maybe neither of those teams are quite as good as I thought they were going to be, and Tennessee's a little bit better everywhere else, especially in that defensive front seven than I thought they were going to be.
You know, I think this usually applies to Tennessee football, but I don't know if it's going to apply this year. Tennessee is going to beat a team that they should not beat, but they're going to lose to a team that they should have beaten.
That usually is the case. I don't know that I buy it this year,
though. Yeah, I just don't think that applies here this year. Because should have Tennessee beat Pittsburgh? Should have, would have, could have. They didn't. Do things change if officiating is a little bit better? And, you know, hey, Tennessee doesn't have over 130 penalty yards? Sure. On top of that, I just don't know if Tennessee, there's going to be a game this year Tennessee's not favored, they're going to win. And it's going to be Kentucky or Missouri. I firmly believe that. I believe that Tennessee's offense, because look, you guys might have shined a little bit of light on this earlier, but now I'll ask you to clarify. Is Pittsburgh a top 10 defense in college football?
No, I don't think so, but I think they're a top 25 defense in college football.
That was the follow-up. Eric Kane, where would you rank them on a tier, Pittsburgh's defense? Because beginning of the season, we were told they were top 10.
Well, I mean, it was the top 10 defense last year.
No. These were preseason rankings coming into this year with what they were bringing back.
Well, I don't know why anybody would predict that when you lose two All-Americans and four NFL draft picks. But yeah. Anyway, I would say it's a top 25 defense. I think it's a solid unit, not as good as last year, but I wouldn't say it's top 10.
Okay. So point I'm trying to get at by bringing that up is simply this. If Tennessee is putting up 34 against a top 25 defense in the country, you got to imagine they're going to be able to hang up with some of those fewer the lack thereof talented defenses that are, yes, I'm highlighting Missouri and Kentucky there. So what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you might have lost a little faith in Tennessee by losing to Pittsburgh, but what I saw later that evening with Kentucky and Missouri make me believe, okay, not all is lost, because we were given examples on multiple ends on both sides of the day Saturday, early games and late games.
And again, I hate playing this game, but I'm going to play this game really, really quick. I mean, and look at everything Tennessee did to itself.
Yeah.
Look at everybody that did not play in this football game. You played two quarterbacks in this football game. You still put up 31. And defensively, yeah, you gave up 41 points. And that can't happen. You're not going to win SEC football games doing that.
Can we give credit where credit is due, though? Kenny Pickett played a hell of a game.
No, he did. Kenny Pickett's a good quarterback, yeah. But the defense, like what they did in sudden change situations, gave up 3 points off turnovers. They were putting bad spots a lot of the times. There's encouraging play from defense, which is surprising me at this point in the season.
Tennessee's better than I thought they were going to be all over the field. They just don't have the quarterback figured out. I thought they would be a struggle everywhere, but the quarterback would be fine, so they'd go win some games. It's the opposite. They're not bad. Now, the offensive line's got to get better. Maybe Cooper Mays coming back will help. But I thought they had six offensive linemen that felt good about. Clearly, that wasn't the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, the sixth guy that I thought was going to be the swing man has yet to play meaningful snaps. Yeah. So, yeah.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Start Bench Cut to get to. A ride with Ivins to end the program here for a Wednesday. Hang with us. The starting lineup continues next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Saints have a total of 8 members of the organization test positive for COVID-19, putting their game in question for Sunday against the Panthers. 6 offensive coaches, 1 player, and 1 nutritionist are said to be the positives. 49ers running back Raheem Mostert will have season-ending knee surgery. Raiders guard Denzel Good is out for the year with a torn ACL. And the Broncos have placed wideout Jerry Jeudy on IR. And the Rockets and John Wall have agreed to work together to find a trade destination for the guard. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion to support educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. 8:39, we got Ryan with Ivins coming up on the other side. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane. All right, gentlemen, best coaching job in college football. Texas, Alabama, Ohio State.
I'm going to start Ohio State. I'm going to bench Texas. I'm going to cut Alabama. And I mean that because of the locations, what comes with it, the expectations. I mean, sure, they're all high expectations-wise, but who the heck's wanting to follow Saban in Alabama?
Yeah, I'm going to start Ohio State. I'm going to bench Texas. I'm going to cut Alabama for exactly that reason. You know what you don't do? Follow the GOAT. You want to be the guy, you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy. You want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy. That's who you want to be. So let somebody else take that Alabama job, go 10-2 and get blown out there, Mark Richt style, and then you be the guy that follows them, be equally good, and the fan base will have lowered their expectations by then.
On this day in 1999, American Beauty was released. Best Kevin Spacey movie.
Oh.
American Beauty, The Usual Suspects, 7.
Start The Usual Suspects, bench 7, cut American Beauty.
That is the correct order. I thought you might start 7 there.
It's one of my favorite movies, but Usual Suspects, Guys Are So-Say, is a lot better.
There are so few movies that I actually, that the end of the movie blew me away. Usually you can tell based on foreshadowing and things like that. That one had no idea. Absolutely blown away by the end of it.
Best bet to be USC's next head coach, Bob Stoops, Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell.
Start Luke Fickell.
Is that because the AD's the one that hired him in Cincinnati? Did you see Luke Fickell's comments yesterday that the job will not interest him? And it didn't seem like coach speak. I'm not going to be Alabama coach. He really seemed like that job doesn't interest him. Now, is he waiting on Ryan Day to go to the NFL or what?
Maybe.
You also know that job does interest his agent.
Yeah, it would interest me at all that money. Plus, I'm living in SoCal, not living in Cincinnati. Nothing against Cincinnati. It's a fine town. It's just cold. I'm trying to wear short pants.
Yeah, that's... You bring up a good point there. No, I'm going to start Luke Fickell. I'll bench Bob Stoops. I'll cut Matt Campbell.
I think Matt Campbell's going to be the guy. I think Matt Campbell should be the guy. Now, let's be honest. It's going to be somebody that sucked in the NFL as a head coach that they hire that has no college experience. that's a little higher, and the boosters will be all in his back pocket the whole time, and then the 80 won't be able to fire them when they're terrible, which is why USC is in the situation that it's in right now. But on this list, I'm going to start Campbell, just gut feeling he's the guy. Bench Luke Fickell, cut Bob Stoops. I don't think he's ever coming back to coaching.
Today is Pete Carroll's 70th birthday.
How about this? Pete Carroll, for 70 years of age, Pete Carroll looking good.
What, he's the oldest NFL coach outside of the guy that just Culley down in Houston. Is that right?
Is Culley is he older than him?
Cullen or whatever? I might be making that up. He's not the oldest NFL coach.
Let's just start saying things right now.
Well, it's
John Gruden's the oldest coach in the National Football
League. I'm pretty sure Pete Carroll's the oldest.
Okay, he might be. Anyway.
What about Hoodie? Because Hoodie's over 70, isn't he?
No.
Is he not? No.
I think he's like 67, okay. 68. Anyway, 70 years old today for maybe the oldest coach in the NFL. Where has Carroll done his best coaching? The Seahawks, USC, or the Patriots?
You start USC, you bench the Seahawks, you cut the Patriots.
He's cheating there, though.
I start the Seahawks, I bench you. Because like that's Russell Wilson and nothing a lot. That roster's been trash. Everybody gives John Schneider so much credit for building that roster. It's terrible most of the time. So he spent way too much money on defensive backs over the years. So I'm going to start Seattle, bench USC. If you got the best players, you should win a lot of games, and he did. And I will cut the New England Patriots.
Today is National Double Cheeseburger Day.
Ooh.
What's the best side for a burger? Fries, pasta salad. How did that make it on here? Fries, pasta salad, or baked beans?
All right, I'm going to start the fries. I'm going to bench the baked beans, and you can keep your pasta salad.
I mean, what is that doing on here, Tyler?
You start baked beans, you bench pasta salad, you cut fries.
You're cutting fries with a burger?
Yeah.
Who are you? You're putting all big boys to shame here, dude. What are you doing?
Come on, man.
Pasta salad's delicious.
I mean, Will, would you put pasta salad on this list?
I won't eat pasta salad.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Okay, if I said start, bench, cut, side items you will never eat. Start, is it coleslaw, pasta salad, asparagus?
Okay.
Because if you go to a fancy restaurant that's asparagus there, and I'm like, I'm not touching that.
I will cut asparagus because I eat that in my everyday, every week diet. So I would start.
I don't know how to cook it right.
I would start the coleslaw, I would bench pasta salad, and then I would cut asparagus.
I love that Kaner in Jeff County style says coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
That's right.
Yeah.
I knew you'd say something about that.
And you wash that down with a Coca-Cola.
But yeah, Tyler put pauses out of here. That's silly. Okay, who takes the most snaps under center?
I'm just clearly not happy about us ripping his pasta salad take.
Who takes the most snaps under center for the Vols this season? Is it Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker, or Harrison Bailey?
Okay, I will still start Joe Milton. I will bench Hendon Hooker. I will cut Harrison Bailey. Harrison Bailey must owe somebody money. He's never going to play again. I don't believe. Look, I think that you'll play as many snaps for Tennessee this year as Harrison Bailey will, Kaner.
Oh, yeah? It's a big moment. Big moment.
I'll start Joe Milton. I'll bench Hendon Hooker. I'll cut Harrison Bailey. I think that's the right order. Yeah, Harrison Bailey, I don't think he's going to take another snap this year. If he does, it's going to be based on injuries. We'll just have to see how bad Joe Milton is.
He might. Excuse me. I'll try that again. He might this weekend against Tech.
I can see that. Yeah. There you go. Little man, Kaner making us all look like fools here. That is Star Bench Cut. Excited to bring Star Bench Come back to 8:30 after we had to move it yesterday with the Bianca Belair interview.
Getting really excited about a ride with Ivins coming up on the other side, too, to wrap up Wednesday's program. Starting lineup here on
The Starting Lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Three USC, number 4 Ohio State, number 5 Georgia. No Notre Dame on that list, no Oklahoma on that list, no Clemson on that list, no Florida on that list. Eric Kane, is USC still a top 5 job in your opinion? Because I'll be honest with you, Joel Klatt's right now making the rounds on everything Fox Sports touches, and I like Joel, super nice guy. But he's making the rounds and everything, juicing up this USC job. Is that a top 5 job in your opinion?
No, it's not. For one, it's not what it used to be. Two, I mean, it's like the 15th most popular thing to do on a Saturday in Los Angeles. Yeah. Three, I mean, they better pay you, and they better pay you a lot because the cost of living over there is outrageous. You can get paid in Oklahoma, and you'd be making more in Oklahoma than you would in Southern Cal.
Yeah, well, we did the cost of living index for Knoxville and Manhattan Beach where Lane moved. He would have to make, to have the same quality of life, he'd have to make double the money.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. So for me, USC is not a top 5 job.
I would say USC right now to me is a top 5 job. And you know, one of the things that changes it for me, well, one, they are patient, right? You can go suck out loud. If you got the right boosters on your side, you are straight. Like, it is fine. Because Clay Helton's been terrible for a real long time. And they have stuck with that dude forever. Also, you can get players. Players want to go. Guys in Southern California want to go play at Southern California. So you can always get talent. So if you could develop the talent, if you've got a quality scheme, I think you can get it done there. And you can win games there. The Pac-12 South is also incredibly easy right now. I don't know if the Pac-12 South's ever been this easy. Or the Pac-12's ever been this easy, quite frankly, altogether. The other thing's name, image, and likeness. There's so many businesses in L.A. where your guys, because again, you know, it's not like Apple's going to come to somebody that just did their event yesterday and say, hey, quarterback for USC, why don't you go pimp the new iPhone 13? That's not going to happen because, you know, they have an L.A. office. But there's so many companies looking for second, third tier people that will be able to push their product. And I think that you're going to have more name, image, and likeness opportunities in L.A. than you are in Norman, Oklahoma, Knoxville, Tennessee, or State College, Pennsylvania.
So if USC is a part of your top five, who else is a part of your top five?
I would say that give me Florida's in my top five. USC's in my top five. Texas, historically, they're in my top five. Ohio State's in my top five. And, man, this is tough. I think Georgia's there as well. No, LSU. I'll put LSU ahead of Georgia. Let me throw LSU. LSU slept on for how good of a job that is. That fan base is wild. The last three coaches have won national championships there. If you look at it year in, year out, usually Louisiana is the state that per capita has the most players in the National Football League. You can also dip into Texas a little bit there because they don't have their business handled. And Nick Saban ain't staying at Alabama forever. So I look at it and think, I think LSU is a fantastic job to have.
Is Alabama not in your top five simply because you don't want to follow Nick Saban?
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, also, I think Saban's made that job what it is. Now, the thing that Saban's done is he's gotten the boosters in order. But I don't want to follow the GOAT, and Saban's the greatest who has ever done it.
No.
But I also don't think it's that great of a job if Nick, it's a great job. I don't think it's a top five job if Nick Saban's not there.
I would agree. I would not want to follow Nick Saban whatsoever. Following a legend is never a great idea. Clemson's in my top five right now, too, because, I mean, it's a cakewalk every single year. And I understand that if I were to take the Clemson job right now, it's
because you're following Dabo. Is there that much of a difference in following Saban and following Dabo?
In my opinion, there's a huge difference. And I could be wrong. You can tell me if you have a different input. I mean, when you compare the two, what they've built, Clemson's a year in and year out, contending for a national championship every single year. Now I get it. But, man, Alabama's been doing that since, what, 08? I mean, they've been doing it for 16 years now, 17 years, longer than that. And so, for me, it's different. Now, in 5-6 years, it could be considered the same. But, you know, Dabo's had great success there, but he ain't Nick Saban.
Time was Notre Dame was a top five job in college football. No doubt about it. Is the fact that they're not in a conference what keeps them off there for you?
Yeah. For me,
them
it is.
Not being in a conference, though, doesn't keep me from removing them from my list, because I had them as a top five job right now.
Do you?
I still think they recruit against Alabama and Ohio State. Do they usually win out? That's another story.
Major TV deal.
That major TV deal. Yeah, and you're kind of double dipping with the ACC, plus you've got your own NBC deal, so you're getting the television revenue. You're not missing out on that from not being in a conference. The one thing I wonder about is how much does the Notre Dame brand matter? Right? Because it's not like you can recruit locally in that area and you're going to win a ton. So how much does that, when I walk into Nashville, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, Florida, that area, you know, Dallas, Texas. If I go to Tampa play in high school, does a kid care that we're Notre Dame? I don't know if they do anymore.
I think the brand still carries weight, but it's nowhere near as heavy. Nowhere near as heavy as what it was 15 years ago.
Is USC the biggest brand that has the lowest expectations?
Wow, that's a good question.
Because I think they are. And you get paid.
They might be. Especially in that market.
Yeah.
Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
It might be.
You can go to the grocery store. Nobody comes up. You can walk around. Like, seriously, if you're the coach at USC, you can go literally anywhere. And if you can't, like, Josh Heupel can't just walk into the Food City. You know what I mean? Like, without getting, I don't know about mob, but some, you know, over again.
Jeremy Pruitt tried to go to Gus's, like, at 2 a.m. on a Saturday, leaving Anderson training facility one night after a game. And, I mean, he got bombarded.
Yeah. So, bombarded. But at USC, you don't deal with that because they don't care about you whatsoever. They're legitimate celebrities running around there. And when it comes to the sports pecking order, you're behind the Lakers, the Clippers, the Dodgers, The Rams, the Chargers, LA Galaxy. Like, you're behind all of those teams. So
you're probably ahead of the Angels.
Yeah, I think you're ahead of the Angels.
Yeah, but
I do.
That might be it.
Yeah, but honestly, as far as pro teams, the Kings, you're ahead of the Kings. You're ahead of the Ducks. But that's about it. And so it's just a matter of you kind of get a, I don't want to say anonymity, because you're still a celebrity. You still make a lot of money. But I think you can get players. I think that you don't. It's very Clemson-like, the competition. It's not as bad, easy as Clemson's get road is, but it's still pretty easy. Plus,
USC. It's just a great play. I mean, you're a kid, too, in terms of recruiting. It's just appealing because, I mean, you're going to Southern California.
Yeah.
Like, all the parks and everything you mentioned, name, image, and likeness, which I do think could play a factor in this moving forward for sure. But you're going to California. You're not going to Starkville, Mississippi. You're not going to Columbus, Ohio.
You're in L.A.
Yeah, you're in
Snoop Dogg on the sideline, yeah, right?
Like, that's pretty cool. But again, I just go back to the whole, is it a top five job for me? No. And a big reason why is just if I was going to go and coach there. I mean, it's like the whole thing with Rick Barnes in UCLA. It's like, you know, I got to get paid over $5 million because the cost of living, would it be worth it for me to leave Tennessee to go, you know, to UCLA? It's kind of the same thing.
So UCLA, the one thing with the basketball job is those boosters are hard. One of the things that makes, I think, the Alabama job appealing is that the boosters in line, like Saban got the boosters in line to say, okay, if you want to cut us a check, cool. But we're not going to sit, you're calling after every single game wondering why I did this. I don't have time for that. I'm trying to coach a football team. I don't have
trying to run a program.
Yeah, I'm trying to run a program here. I don't have time. You know what I mean? So, and USC, they have boosters like that, but it's almost like they're that way towards the AD, not the coach. As long as you go do your whatever thing you need to do for the, like, a quarterback club, show up at the speaking events, things like that, USC's boosters get behind you, cut a big check, leave you alone. So, and we've seen over and over again, USC couldn't fire the coach that they needed to fire because the boosters were behind them too much. It's like the reverse of an SEC job right now with USC. So because of that, that's why I think USC is that good of a job. Why do you think so few people call Florida a top five job anymore? Because time was, everybody would have said Florida immediately.
I still believe they are.
Is it because you got, because right now you're not going anywhere because Alabama's going to beat you every year in the SEC championship if you get there? I mean, is that it?
Well, I know for a while they didn't have an indoor practice facility and things like that. Their facilities were behind, but they've done a good job getting that back to where it needs to be.
They have had a brand new, was it an indoor football?
Yeah. They didn't have that for a while because Foley was like, well, we don't need that to recruit here. Well, you did.
Yeah. I think Florida's up there. It's not top five for me. I would have Georgia's in my top five over Florida.
Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice. They're up next. You can find them at a Papa Murphy's near you. More TSL to get to tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Talk to you then.